This shiur is really the basis of an article that was just published in the Journal of Halakha Contemporary Society, which is the contemporary halachic journal. This is like big stuff. It's a big deal. So it's a pleasure for us to have him here sharing with us what he learned, his research, and the interesting issues that come about. Should someone want a copy of the article after the shiur, I have a copy with me, and I'll be happy to make copies for anyone who would like to learn more about this this topic. Okay, without any further ado, thank you very much, Rabbi Zaraski. Fun time with us. This is for you. I don't know, is it?
Yeah.
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 Thank you. Okay. Good evening, everybody. Thank you very much, Rav Gershon. It's always a pleasure to be here. It's always a pleasure to see you also. It's a big schuss to have him in your school every single day. Hope you appreciate him. Do you? My other claim to fame here is that my neighbor is Rav Yonatan Cohen, who I hope that most of you know by now. I think some of you were at his house for Shabbos a couple days ago. You were a little dressed up, so I didn't know. Whoever it was. Okay, one. There was three of you, right? Okay. Okay. Anyway, so we shmoo sometimes. I tell him all my horror stories about MMY. He tells me all his horror stories about Shalavim. So,
yeah, <just kidding.
laughs> I know they're not true. Don't worry. This topic is, from what I've discovered over the past year or two, a very, very important topic for seminary students about your age. I'm not going to tell you what the reaction of the MMY girls was when I shared this topic with them. I'll compare it to how you guys do. I also forgot to tell Rav Gershon that show and tell would have been a really good idea. Does anybody actually have any of the jewelry here?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we're fine. Okay. All right, so the last couple minutes, hopefully we'll have time. If you guys want to send me up your things, then we can talk about some of the specific examples. I'm sure you'll also ask about it in the middle. But the shiur is not really complete unless we have at least a few minutes to go through some of the specific inscriptions on some of your jewelry and discuss whether how bad it is there room to leave it, to not leave it, should you change it, etc., etc. Okay? But first, what we need to do is go through some of the sources that are the basis for this discussion. Okay? Everybody have a source sheet? Yeah, everybody's got? Okay, they went around. I don't know where they are now. Here they are. There's more here if you didn't get. Let me just take here. Just pass it out or whatever. Okay, great. So there's two questions here. Okay, the first question is, are you allowed to take such jewelry that has psukim or possibly even other words of chazal, divrei Torah inscribed on them, and bring them into the bathroom? Okay, that's question number one. Very nice. Are most of you familiar with that question? Have you heard of that issue before?
Yeah.
Probably yes. Okay, the second issue is the one that you may not have heard of, and unfortunately this is the one you have to ask before you even get to the bathroom, and that is, can you wear it at all? Uh-oh, now we're in trouble. This is how I know I'm never going to be asked back. When I tell you that, you're in big trouble if you're wearing it, and it's like, okay, that's it, get rid of him! No. So the answer is that it's actually complicated, okay? Meaning it's not just a question of, can I bring it into the bathroom? The first question is, maybe you can't wear it at all. Like, let's look inside so you see what I'm basing this on, and then we can discuss it. Okay, the first source on the source sheet is a tshuva from the Rambam. Okay, we all know who the Rambam is, right? I assume in Shalavim, right? We know? Yeah, good. Okay. So the Rambam didn't just write the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam also wrote Shilas Tshuvas, okay, responsive literature. And the Rambam has a discussion about a very similar issue here. Let's read it inside together. Okay. B'davar talis asher bachar osa ben adam l'tzitzis. Okay, so a person chose a certain talis, which here, by the way, may not necessarily mean a talis that we call a talis today. It may just mean the garments. In those days, the garments often had how many corners?
Four.
Very good. Okay, so therefore, many of their garments were chayav in tzitzis, right? So what did he want to do? Ratzalis na'os b'mitzvah. So he wanted to basically do what we call hidur mitzvah, to beautify his mitzvah. V'rakam shulav meshi b'umnus meshubachas. And basically, he embroidered on the side of his garments with professional embroidery. The kasav shuvah pasuk in parashas Vayomer. He wrote a pasuk basically from the parasha of Vayomer. Now, what's special about the parasha of Vayomer? Of course, in this context, it has in it what discussion about which mitzvah?
Tzitzis.
Very good. Okay. So look what happens. Umacha biyado mimuna ha'ir. So the one in charge, one of the leaders of the city, protested. Almasha asa. The Amar lo, and he said to him, Asur lo bosh zos hatalis. You can't wear that garment. Okay. He says, don't wear it. I don't know if he told him to take it off in public. I hope he didn't do that, but. But he said, you can't wear that. Okay, so he, of course, did what any good... Actually, I'm not... Be careful what I say here. What any good Jew would do, of course, and says, I don't want to listen to you. What do I care what you say? Okay, I'm not going to take this off. And he continued to wear the garment. Okay, of course, he didn't listen. All right? How many of us listen to our rabbis or our leaders? Not very many of us, right? Okay. So he says, Yoreinu Rabbeinu, teach us, our teacher Rambam, Ha'im Masha Asa Zeh Nachon Umotri L'Mashiach HaKarabba Zeh. Did he do the right thing by not listening? And can somebody else do the same thing? Ohu Chet, or Chata. Or did he sin? So what do you think the Rambam's going to answer? Asr, very good. Hatshuva Zeh Masa Hu Chet, it's a sin. Ve'einu Mutri B'Shum Panim, it is not permitted at all. Wow. And then he says, what's the reason why it's forbidden? He gives two reasons. V'yisur l'da'atenu mishnei ta'amim. Okay, two reasons why. Ha'achad mehem she'en lichtov min ha'tor psukim, el yichtov shalosh tevos levad v'lo yoser. Okay, the first reason they give, and I didn't give you the entire reason here, I'll show you where it's based on in a second. He says basically you're not allowed to write psukim from the Torah in sections without putting it in the context of an entire Sefer Torah or a chumash, at the very least, Reishis, Shmos, Vayikra, etc., etc. Okay? He says, all you can write are three words, but no more. Anybody know what this is based on? This is a complicated point. I don't know if you would know what this is based on, but there's actually a discussion in the Gemara that you may not be able to write psukim outside of a chumash or a Sefer Torah. Okay? Anybody ever heard of this before? Not commonly known. Anybody heard of this? No? Yeah, you've heard of it?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, have any idea what it's based on or what the concept is behind it? A little harder. Okay, so again, I'll give you one more line here in source number two in the Gemara in Gittin. We're going to skip for a second to the Gemara in Gittin, and we'll go back to the rest of the Ramban. So the Gemara here has this question. Abai asked Rabba the following question. Okay, are you allowed to write a Megillah, which in this case means a scroll? Okay, it's Purim now. Obviously, it was just Purim. So we're not talking about Megillas Esther here. We're talking about any Megillah which had, let's say, one of the Sfarim of Tanakh or Chumash written on it. Okay? So can you write a scroll for a child to Lislamiba, to learn from it? So Amarlei Ein Kozvin, he says you can't write it. What's pshat? Okay, what's going on here? So the concept in the Gemara, again, the Gemara is more elaborate. I didn't quote the whole Gemara here. Basically, the idea is that the Torah was given as an entire book. Okay, in different forms of how this works. Either it was given from Hashem to Moshe in sections, and then afterwards put together as one sefer at the very end of Moshe's life, or the entire book was given as the Torah only at the end, all as one unit. But either way, it was intended to be taught and transmitted as one unit. So basically, the most you can do is to write, have one chumash, let's say Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, but to take small sections out of the Torah and write them separately, the Gemara says is usher. Okay, and that's what the Rambam is quoting here. Now, does anybody have a question on that? Does that make sense to you? No. What's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you. Rivki. Okay. Talk to me. Why doesn't it make sense? Don't be bashful. You don't know? Oh, 1 second. If you said it doesn't make sense, you must have had some reason for that. What'd you say?
There are a lot of things that have.
Thank you. Okay. Point me out one thing in this base measure which has a pasuk on it. Yes. What's your name?
Sharon.
The mezuzah. Okay, so the mezuzah might be a different story because the mezuzah has to, that's the obligation of the Torah is to write the psukim in it. But just look around in this base measure.
Right.
Besides the sfarim, do you see anything else?
Yeah.
I'm looking right now.
Right here.
Look at this. Okay, beautiful. Totally Torah's picha me'alfei zav v'kesef. Shalom for women, class of 2008-2009. Beautiful. They donated the shtender, I guess, right? That's what happened here? Okay. Very nice. I hope you guys will all believe this by the end of your year here. Okay? If not, we got some work to do, right? Okay. So what's going on here? How can it be? How can it be that this pasuk is there? It's not allowed, right? Okay, give me some more examples. Yeah, what's your name?
Gabi.
Let's
say, like, on top of the Aron Kodesh.
Mishul. Excellent, okay, on top of the Aron Kodesh. Okay. What'd you say?
Oh, the Peruch and Mishul.
Okay, Peruch, excellent. And the truth is, even more questions. Okay? You want to count your Sfarim here? Okay, how many of these Sfarim have an entire Sefer of Tanakh in them? Not so many, right? Where's the Tanakh section? Over there?
In the corner.
Over there. Okay, fine. So cut that part out. All the rest of these Sfarim. I guarantee you almost every single one quotes Psukim. What's going on here? Every single Rav didn't keep this Halacha. Very strange, right? Yeah. Okay, let's go on. Hold that question for now. We'll come back to it in a couple of minutes once we get the Rambam down. Okay? Back to the Rambam for the time being. Okay? The Rambam, where we left off, after the three dots, this is about three, six, about seven lines from the top, where he says, V'atam ha'sheni. Okay, what we just said is the first reason why you can't embroider psukim on a garment. The second reason says, V'atam ha'sheni asher b'galo asur zelma. So why this is asur? Hu yozer chazak min harishon is more strong than the first reason. Hu shemavker psuke tar l'dei zilzo. Because you basically are mafkir psukim from the Torah lidei zilzul. And mafkir is a hard word to translate, but basically it means that you sort of let the psukim free, you cause the psukim to come to a state of degradation, okay, of zilzul, okay, which is not appropriate. Why is that? Levisha tzitzis tashmishe mitzvah ve'ink ba'kedusha saguf. Tzitzis are not what we call tashmishe aguf, meaning basically they don't have kedusha of themselves. Okay, tefillin and a sefer Torah, they themselves have kedusha. Okay, tzitzis by itself does not intrinsically have kedusha, and therefore, generally speaking, for tzitzis, you're allowed to bring tzitzis into the bathroom. Okay, and technically speaking, you don't have to put it in shameless after you stop using it. Again, that's the custom is to do so anyway, but you don't technically have to. So therefore, he says, you're allowed to bring tzitzis into the bathroom, but yet, it says, you can bring a regular talis into the bathroom. The problem is now, if you're putting psukim on your talis, on your garments, what's going to happen? You're going to bring the psukim into the bathroom. And then he says, v'eich nafkir psukei ha-torah shenichtevu b'kedusha shenichtevu b'piagvura le'elu atinofos v'azilzolam. How can you basically cause these psukim written with kedusha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be brought into a situation where they're being brought into a place of not uncleanliness and degradation. Okay, v'zeh bizoy Torah b'li safek. This is clearly a bizoyon, embarrassment to the Torah. Okay, everybody with me so far? Okay, the next slide we'll come to a little bit later. So everybody understand there's two reasons here in the Rambam. Reason number one, we can't take psukim outside of the Tanakh and write them, because that's not how the Torah was given. Reason number two, we're afraid that you may bring the psukim into the bathroom or other makom tameh, which is absolutely not okay. That's a big bizayon. Okay, everybody with me so far? Okay. So now, let's see how this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll discuss a little more the two reasons. The Shulchan Aruch in source number three basically quotes both of these halachas in the Rambam. In Sif Bet, he says, you can't write a scroll by itself, meaning not in the context of the entire Sefer of Breishis, Shmos, etc., that has parashas, that has sections. The Enkos and Megillah, liturgically Islamic, but you can't write a Megillah for a child to learn from. Okay, the only exception he says is if Datul Ashtimul the Chumash, if you want to continue and complete the Sefer to make a whole Chumash out of it. That's number one. And then if you skip to Sif Dalit, he says, Asr Lerakim Psukim Batalis, you cannot embroider Psukim on a talis. So that's pretty clear, right? The second reason is they're also a very clear, unambiguous form that you're not allowed to put the psukim on a talis. So now, before we detail the rest of the discussion, or just for a second, stop, time out, and think. Does this apply to our situation of psukim on jewelry? What do you think? Is it somewhat parallel, completely parallel, or not at all? What do you say?
What's your name? Hadassah.
Hadassah. What do you say?
I say yes, because it's the same situation.
Okay, good. Hadassah says yes. Anybody else agree with her? Okay, good. Anybody want to say maybe not? Not exactly. What's your name?
Sipora.
I think
it applies even more because a talis you wouldn't
really
bring into the bathroom.
You would what?
A talis you shouldn't bring into the
bathroom. Okay, good. So that's what I said before, that the Rambam is not necessarily talking about our talism today. You're correct. For a talis today, the custom is not to bring it into the bathroom. It could be a talis that's used in shul might be a little bit different.
Does that mean
Could be. It could be today that the halacha for a talis and shul might be different. The custom is generally not to, but you know, if for some reason it's done, it may be possibly a little more lenient because we generally do not bring it into the bathroom. Okay, I'm not going to get into that now, but that's correct. That's a correct assessment.
Wear all the time and wear it in the bathroom.
Right. So that's correct. Then jewelry might be similar to the case of a regular garment, which the Rambam was talking about, that you wear all the time. There's a very serious concern that you might bring it into the bathroom. Okay, even if you tell me, no, Rabbi, what are you talking about? I'm going to take it off every single time. I had a few girls that told me this in past years and this year. Then I asked them, you know, come on, you know, did you ever forget? You know, you never forgot even once? Okay, fine. Yeah, that is true. I did forget once or twice. Okay. It happens, right? You can try very hard, but you're going to forget. That's a very, very serious concern. So most of you think that this application, in theory, is pretty relevant? Yeah. What's your name?
Jenny.
I think it's like only somewhat relevant because the Rambam was talking about garments that would like have a mitzvah on them. Like there are already four corners, so they would have to have tzitzit on them, but like jewelry doesn't necessarily have a mitzvah.
Okay, so why does that make it? So you want to say that's more of a problem or less of a problem in the case of the jewelry?
I think it's like not exactly the same.
Okay, you're right, it's not the same. In my mind, it might be worse, because for jewelry, if there's no mitzvah to have it in the first place, there should perhaps be even less of a reason to put the pesukim on. Perhaps. Okay, well, think about it. Beseder, let's just take a couple more minutes to go through the first reason and the second reason, just to make sure that we understand properly how they work. Okay? In terms of the first reason, so as we've pointed out before, not so many of us have heard of this halacha. You have to figure out what happens here. How does this not get kept, and how is it relevant here? So if you look at sources 4 and 5, we're not going to read them completely inside, but just to take out a couple of words here. In source number 4, the Shach, who's a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch and Yoreh Deh, you may have heard of him. So he quotes a number of psukim that basically invoke the idea of Eis Lasos Lashem Heferu Sarasecha. Okay, anybody heard of that before? Heard of this? Okay. Which context?
Mishnah.
Mm-hmm. Good. Tar Shvap, writing down Tar Shvap. Very good. Anybody else? I'll give you a good one. What'd you say?
Breaking Luchos.
Breaking Luchos. You mean Moshe Rabbeinu, or? Okay, good, good. You have to think about how that would apply, but obviously he broke the Torah, correct? Okay, good. Okay, no, so you're right. Meaning that's, I just didn't make sure that's what you're talking about. Okay, very good. Very good. Very good. The more common application is, I guess we learned Gemara and Shalavim, right? That makes sense, right? Okay, just to get that straight. There was a more common application. I'm just trying to compare between Shalavim and MMY and figure out just how similar you guys are. No, just kidding. More common application is actually about Kolisha. A very interesting session which you guys may have learned about by the 3DH. You heard about this? No, you got to teach them this.
I think the next class is Wednesday's class.
Yeah. Beautiful. Okay, Wednesday's class. So look out for this. Okay, the 3DH has a tshuva about co-ed youth groups. Okay, in France. In the 19th. I do know about it. Okay, fine. The Seder. So, if you didn't know about that, then you, I don't know, you've got to do something about that too. It's a very important tshuva, by the way, again, for Kolisha and NTSY type of youth groups, etc., etc. Again, he invokes the topic as well in a certain context there, and you have to analyze that very carefully to see how that applies. Anyway, what they do here is they basically say that it's the same concept that if you look at the middle line there, Eina Kol Yodim Baal Peh, you don't know, most people do not know Torah Shebichtav by heart. And not everybody has chumashim in the shul, and the kids can't learn. They don't have enough chumashim for everybody, etc., etc. Basically, nobody's going to learn Torah if you can't quote psukim outside of the Tanakh or the chumashim. Therefore, he says that the minhag has become that it's permitted to write down psukim because otherwise you can't function. Okay, the Taz in source number 5 also basically writes the same thing. But he says clearly, Mikom Makom Ein Heter Ela Kedei L'Islamibo. He says the only heter is to teach with it. Mishumeis Laslos Hashem. But he says people Osan Shekosim Psukim Alakosa. People that write Psukim on the walls for a Siman Tov Lav Shapir Avdi. It's not so good. They don't do the right thing because the Torah was given. He says as a Chasuma Nidna, basically to be as the Torah, not as individual sections. So here again, I wish we had more time, but without going into all the points here, basically the Taz is pretty clear that according to him, in our case, would you say that it's okay? No. Probably not. Okay, he says very clearly the only heter is to teach. The Shach, on the other hand, doesn't quite say that. Okay, he basically just says, Eis Lasos Lashem, but he doesn't directly limit the heter to a case of teaching. So one might say that maybe if you have a good reason why you want to write the psukim, even if it's not in the context of, let's say, a teaching or a sefer or whatever, maybe there's grounds to allow it. Okay? And that may be the basis for why some people have psukim on the wall or other places. It could be that they're following the Shach and other poskim that follow that opinion. Okay? Again, according to the Taz, it's hard to explain why you have psukim in those areas because those psukim are not really to teach you. It's nice to have psukim there, but how much does it really teach you? Is it a critical educational tool to write like a mural, like a colorful mural on the wall with psukim on it or a parochas or whatever? Not so important. Question? So that's another interesting question, which we don't have time for now, but there's a big discussion in the post-com, but if you write psukim on the board, is that also a problem or not? So there, the post-com are a little bit more lenient in terms of erasing it, because it was never meant to be long-term. On the wall also, for the second concern, on the wall is not such a problem, because in terms of bringing it to the bathroom, that's already, that's not so bad, because the psukim on the wall hopefully don't get to the bathroom. The only problem might be, again, I'm not going to tell you exactly what I saw yesterday and where I saw it, but on Purim, people in certain yeshivas get a little stoned and bad things happen, let's just say. And maybe psukim on the wall might be subject to whatever. We'll leave it at that. If you get what I'm saying, we'll leave it at that. I don't want to say any more. Whatever. I'll just say some pretty nasty things were happening yesterday in certain places that could be that might be subject to similar ideas. But normally it doesn't really happen except for Purim, whatever. Okay. Yeah. Next question. Quick question.
Just to continue on Aniel's thought. So the board, that's temporary, but like in terms of writing notes, and then you want to. Cross out or white out. That's more permanent.
Yeah, so I would say like this. For anything which you're using to learn Torah or to remember or whatever, I think any of those things is going to be mutter. Okay, even according to the Taz, I think all those things will be included.
To erase?
Okay. Yeah. I think to erase also if you need to. Okay, again, that discussion is not, we don't have time for that now, but the post can do discuss it. Can give more Mara Makomos about it, but that's generally allowed. Yeah.
Form as just of as a Torah. And and it had a Kimitzion Tetz Torah on the costume.
And where would it go now?
I was saying, could it bring it to the bathroom or not?
I don't know. I would think it's a problem. Again, bringing it to the bathroom in that case might be more of a problem than bringing it to... These are only shots you get on Purim. Last year, by the way, when I came last year, remember this last year, we spoke about cross-dressing on Purim. I don't know. For some reason, I'm always here around Purim time. Something funny always comes up. That was a good one, by the way. That one's also recorded, I think, no? Yeah, quick question. I want to just move on to one time. The answer is that it probably should not be brought into the bathroom. In terms of getting rid of it afterwards, it could be that maybe there's
room to... Wear it, though?
I don't know. Look, you probably should put it in Shameless. Meaning if it's a real pasuk, you probably should put it in Shameless.
We could wear the costume.
Let's talk afterwards, okay? It's already been DM, you already did it, so that's why we'll talk afterwards, okay? Yeah.
In someone's notes, like a lot of people write Pesukim in their notes.
Yeah, Pesukim in the notes is probably fine because it's for educational purposes, but.
If you don't need it anymore and you want to get rid of it, you have to put it in Shemus.
So, yeah, probably notes that you have in general, again, this is not our topic now directly, but notes with Divrei Torah in them probably should be put in Shemus anyway.
Okay.
But why would you not need your notes?
I don't know.
So everything that everything that you learn here goes out the window when you leave Shalom. I don't know about this. It doesn't sound good. Just kidding. Just teasing. Okay. Let's go on. We don't have so much time, so let's move on here. Anyway, so that's the first reason. So again, depending on which of these two sheets you hold, according to the Shach, there may not be such a problem with psukim on the jewelry, because you could argue that it's nice to have different Torah in your jewelry. It allows you to constantly remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, etc. That I've heard from people before, and that there may be something to that. According to the Taz, though, it would be more problematic because, again, it's not critical for educational purposes to write psukim on your necklace or on your rings. So according to the Taz, it might be a little bit more of a problem. But at least here we have at least one sheet to rely on. The real problem, again, according to the Rambam, is the more serious reason is the one about taking it into the bathroom. Okay, this is really the more significant problem, that we're afraid that you may take the jewelry into the bathroom, and therefore it should be forbidden to embroider the jewelry on the embroider the psukim on the jewelry even in the first place. Okay, and based on that, it would seem to be a logical extension to apply that as well to having, buying, and perhaps wearing jewelry that we're talking about today. Okay, that would seem to be a proper application, even though he's talking there about embroidering it. But the Rambam in context was talking about somebody who already had it. It sounds like the Rambam is saying that you can't have the talus. And if you look at the last two lines in the Rambam, just back up for a second to that Rambam there, he says, "Kamosha lo schar al kavanaso les naus mitzvos," just like he should get schar reward for trying to make his mitzvos nice, "kach yelo schar yusar gadol," he should have even better schar michave divrei Elokim. Sorry, this got a little messed up here. "V'yachtoch elor rakmos," it would be even better to honor the words of God and cut off the embroidered section with the psukim, "Asher b'ran divrei Elokim chayim," that has the words of the living God, "v'ganzan," and put them into Shemos in Geniza. "V'zos chayavim lasos," and this you have to do. So again, that's pretty strong on the Rambam's part to say that you actually should cut it off and put it away, put it into Shemos after you already have it. Okay, that we'll come back to in just a couple minutes. But if you apply that directly to our case, it would seem that really you should take your jewelry with psukim and actually put it, store it aside and not use it. Okay. Before we get you guys too freaked out here, I'll just give you a few other kulas that some of the posts can have. Again, I talk about this in my article a little bit more, but just to throw out a few ideas that might help in being makil in certain situations. Okay? Number one, okay, the question is, how many words are we talking about here? So if you saw in the Shulchan Aruch, in source number 3, in the middle of Shulchan Aruch there, he says, "Kasam Megillah, Shalosh, Shalosh, Tevos, Peshita, Achas, Mutzer." If you have 3 words per line, that might be okay. Meaning, if you have only 3 words on a given line, then the Shulchan Aruch says, based on earlier Rishonim, including the Rambam, that That's not considered to be a pasuk. Okay? Essentially what they're saying here is that you don't have to have an entire pasuk to qualify as a pasuk with Kedusha, but you do have to have at least, according to the Shulchan Aruch, 4 words. Okay, less than 4 words would not be considered a pasuk. That would be permitted. Some poskim are a little more machmir. Again, we don't have time to go into it now. The Vilna Gaon and a few others might claim that even 3 words would be a problem. So at the end of the day, 3 words is a machlokes. 2 words is certainly okay. 3 words is a machlokes. 4 words is definitely not okay. But again, according to the more lenient opinions, if you have 3 words together, that might be permitted. Okay, one more step here.
What if it's like...
Hold on, so that's where we're getting to. Okay, the Taz says, if you look at the Taz on source number 6, okay, so the Taz on the first line there says the following thing. He says, what does it mean, shalosh tevos? Perish kosev shalosh tevos, kama shalosh tevos rechokos. 3 words here, and then 3 words farther away, b'shita shnia, on the second line. She'em nikrosim arishona, that are not read with the first line. Kederach zemutar, in this way it's permitted. L'vei she'em nirach kosev megillah achas, because it's not, doesn't appear like you're writing one megillah. So in this context, the Taz says that it doesn't look like you're writing one megillah, and therefore it sounds like it would be permitted. The shaila that we have here is that reason, which applies more to the question of writing the psukim outside of the Tanakh, does that also apply to our discussion about bringing into the bathroom, into a makom tameh? Is that svar relevant there as well? And number two, what does he mean? Meaning, does he mean the case where the lines are like right next to each other? You know, one line, 3 words here, immediately underneath another line? Or does it mean no? He means one line here and then another line out there somewhere, which are totally not readable together. And the nafkamina, of course, is our case. Okay, where you have, let's say, 3 words on the top line, and then directly underneath, you have 3 more words. Okay? Everybody understand the concept here? Everybody with me on this point? This is... Everybody say you're not with me? Any clarification on this?
What if you have 2 words and then 2 words?
Okay, so hold on. Here, let's do some show and tell for just a minute here. Anybody have jewelry with this concept on it?
It doesn't have a puzzle.
Oh. Baruch Hashem, you don't have psukim, even better. Okay, wonderful. If you'll just show me for a second, I can just show you. Okay, what do we have here? Let's see. Hachayim. By the way, I do this with MMY girls all the time. Spend like hours and hours like them showing me their rings or whatever it is. And it's a whole pastime, whatever. Don't ask. Hachayim heim. I know all the expressions now by heart. All these. Hachayim heim lo l'chakot l'sofa chetishkot. Very nice. Okay. Ella l'lmod l'rkod bein. Oh, this looks like Shalavim. Wow, their code. This is real Shalavim stuff about dancing. Beautiful. Bein ha tipot.
Yeah.
Tipot. Interesting. Okay, dancing between the raindrops. I got it. Okay. So you see here, basically, this is an example. There's a lot of words on each line. Okay, but there's one line right underneath the next line. Okay. The Shalav would be, if any of you have, and again, I've seen a lot of these, that have, let's say, 3 words on the top line and right underneath, 3 words on the next line. Is that subject to the Heter or not? So this actually is a big machlokas opposed. I'm just mentioning you very briefly. Rav Belsky is quoted in one of the websites, which I quote in my article. He seems to say, he's talking about wedding invitations, but it's a similar discussion there as well. If you have wedding invitations with a couple words on the first line, and underneath a couple more words, kol sason, kol simcha, one of those kinds of things, odi shalvar Yehuda. So he says if you have 3 words on the top line, and then 3 words underneath, he says that's mutter. And other poskim that are quoted, including I think Rav Yashav and a few others that are quoted, I also quoted in my article, they say, no, that's not really what we have in mind here. We're talking about a case where they're farther apart that you can't automatically read one right next to the next one. Okay, meaning here it's obvious they go together. The heter is in a case where they don't automatically go together. But if they're right next to each other, right on top of each other, the heter would not apply. So again, in the case of the rings, that's basically, that's the machlokas here, where you know many poskim would be machmer and say if they're read together, that would be a real problem. And you have some that would say, well, no, you know, if they're you know not more than 3 words on a line, there may be some room to be making. Okay, everybody got that? Okay. Any questions before I move on? Okay. All right, I'm skipping some of the stuff here. Again, I have some more discussion in my article here, which you can read if you like. One point I mentioned here is about Shem Hashem, which we're not going to get into now, but the Shem Hashem makes it more problematic, okay? So nobody should ever write the actual Shem Hashem in the real form of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei or anything like that on jewelry, okay? That's especially bad. Okay, so the Psukim, again, we were talking about different ways to get out of it, but Shem Hashem is much worse, okay? We're not going to get into this now, but again, just keep that in mind. Okay. Another way to get out of some of these things, and again, I've seen some of them and Y Girl showed me, and I suggested some of them to do this as well, is to either abbreviate some of the words or to switch the order of the words. Okay, this, if you want to look, in source number 7, in the Pisrei Tshuva, so he quotes here, is the following thing. Okay, he's looking at the Tashbetz, who writes, "Demash efshar lahatir b'zehu sheyichtav atevos chaseros." Basically, leave a letter out of the different words. Besofan, at the end, kigon zeh vayidaber Hashem moshel lemor. You see that? Daber el. You recognize those words there? Every single one of them, he left out a letter. So you don't have to leave out a letter every single time, okay? Or if you add an extra letter, okay? Or in the middle, it says Breishis in the next line. Breishis without an aleph, okay? Or you read it male. If you look at the next line, Moshe Aharon. You see that with an extra vav inside? Any of these kinds of things will make it better as long as you don't have three or four words together that are written exactly as they are in the Pesukim. Okay, but if you make it such that you have, you know, less than three or four words together that are written the way they are in the Torah by, let's say, adding in an extra letter somewhere along the way, that would be mutter. Okay, and that's an absolutely legitimate hetzer. And that I suggested to many people to do. You, by the way, can take your jewelry back if you get it from Hadayah. If you take it back there, they can actually inscribe in a couple extra letters here and there in order to solve the problem. So again, you add an extra vav, an extra yud, an extra aleph somewhere along the way. And again, if you do it right, that could solve your problem. Okay. The other option, again, as we mentioned, it's not in here, but elsewhere they discuss, again, if you reverse the order of some of the psukim, okay? That's what's done sometimes on the wedding invitations. If you reverse some of the order of the words, again, that's another legitimate hetzer. Any questions on that point? Yeah, remember your name?
Evie.
If you have something completely, like, word for word flipped, so you have the last word first, and then, so if you know that's the way you're reading it, you read the whole pasuk, or does it have to be, like, jumbled, like, you know, word three, word five, word two,
I think it's
one.
Okay to do it that way as long as you don't have three or four words, depending on which opinion you hold, like, that are from the pasuk together. So if you have, let's say, five words in each phrase, and the phrases are flipped, but each phrase still has its five words together that are in the correct order and spelled the way they are in the Tanakh, I would think that's still a problem. Okay, you understand? But if you flip a couple words in the middle, you know, where it's only three-word phrase or four-word phrase, and then you flip it, so then, you know, maybe you can work with that a little bit better. Yeah?
Does this cause more confusion?
What?
Like, people saying, it's how you spell Moshe Aaron. Oh, it's supposed to, because there is a vav in the Aaron. Like, people might, like...
Yeah, you're correct, but because the whole issue to begin with here is, you know, again, it's an important issue, but it's not in the Gemara, okay? The Gemara doesn't say you can't write jewelry or sukkim on a talitha. This isn't the Rambam. The concern of the bringing into the bathroom is a real concern. But because the concern is in the Rishonim, I don't think we have to worry. We don't make our own gzeiras. You can assume that it's fine. Just make sure that you look up the pasuk and make sure that you know what you're talking about. Okay.
Like, I feel like maybe, like, if someone, like, their someone's grandchildren gets their necklace, they'll be like, oh, like, maybe the Torah used to, like, be written this way, but now we...
I understand what you're saying. It might be a good idea to tell them, you know, explain to them what was done. And anyway, it's good for educational purposes to explain to them why you did it so they understand that there might be a problem. But if you solve the problem, that would be the best thing. I don't think you have to say that it's usher if you don't do that, though. I wouldn't go quite that far, okay? Because, again, to begin with, we have, you know, different issues here, and, again, it's not in the Gemara, so it's important, but I wouldn't say because of that you should forbid the whole thing, okay? Don't think. Okay, let's go on to the next point. There are a few other expressions that we mentioned before. This will also be a heter for this situation, and that is, again, any expressions which do not come from Tanakh, okay? Anybody else here have expressions that don't come from Tanakh? A few of you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you have? Tell me some nice ones here. Let's hear. Yeah, whoever. Yeah, go for it.
It's from my brother, so he got a tav lamentiv tam dam lamentiv
amma. Oh my gosh. Are you sure? Do you know what that means?
Yes, I do.
Can the rest of you know what that means?
No.
No, uh-oh. All right, afterwards, let's, if you want to stick around. You might not be very happy about it, but...
What does it mean?
You don't want to know.
should
tell you? Rav Gershom left the room already, Sasta. You want to tell me what it means? It means that a woman generally prefers to be married to a really bad person, to a bad man, than to not be married at all. Okay? Did you know what it meant when you got it?
Yep.
Okay, good for you. Anyway. All right. That's a very bold of you. Make sure you don't show it to the guy that you're dating when you go out with him. He might think you're really weird. Anyway, I'll tell you the truth, though. The only problem is that actually comes from the Gemara.
Right.
It could be that from the Gemara still may be the same problem. Okay, meaning... Basically, again, we don't have time to get into this now. The Rambam seems to imply that when it comes to Shemos, anything which comes from Chazal also has the same status that you put it in Geniza. That's the same reason why if you have pages from Svarim and even Divrei Torah and even, you know, the Shabbos weekly pamphlets, could be that some of these things have to be put in Shemos. Okay? Even if they're photocopied, we generally are machmir today, they should put them in Shemos. So I would say, again, maybe it's a little bit better, but I'm not sure if it entirely solves the problem. Okay? Maybe you don't want to be wearing that anyway anymore. Now that everybody knows what it means, but okay. Anybody else? Yeah. Okay, that's very nice. Okay, that's, you know, no chazal, no psukim. Very nice. Anybody else want to throw out one here? Yeah. Beautiful. Okay. Also very nice. You know where that's from? Is it Rinachman or is it Kuzari? It's Rinachman, Rinachman, right? Rinachman. There's another one. The Kuzari has another one, you know, Leaving Mizrach, whatever, which is now famous because Yaakov Shvaki made it into a song, of course. But okay, very good. So all these kind of things. Again, I think the things from Rinachman, there are a few other ones from Rinachman also. Okay, Tamid Besimcha, a few Kololam Kula, Geshet Tzar Ma'od. You guys think that was from him, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, good. So those already, I mean, Rinachman obviously is very, very important and he's, you know, very, very holy, especially these days in Eretz Yisrael and whatever, has become very, very big. But Alanias Tati, I don't think you have to be so machmir when it comes to his expressions. And by the way, where I live in Yad Binyamin, if I don't know if you noticed this, but there's a lot of Breslov in Yad Binyamin. We have it hardcore, so the real hardcore Breslovers and the Rav Shlomo guys, are not the Nachman guys, but the real guys, the real Breslov learners, they actually learn Rabbi Nachman inside. But I don't think you have to go as far as to say that you can't put those things on the psukim, the same thing as Divrei Chazal. That far I wouldn't go. Okay, any, one more example before we finish up. Yeah. Anybody, whoever wants to. Beautiful. Okay, very nice. Okay, nice expressions. Anias Nati, this is really the way to go. If you can find expressions like that which are meaningful to you but don't come from Chazal or from Sukkim, that I think is the best way out of doing this without you know, getting into some of the halachic problems. One other factor to consider, which we're not going to go into now, but I found that Rav Yaakov Ariel, who's the chief rabbi of Ramat Gan, has a sefer called Bialah Shel Torah. It's a sefer of Shilas and Tshuvas. He discusses another question, which is basically, what happens if the jewelry was not intended to mean psukim? Meaning, sometimes you have inscriptions of like, ani le dodi ve dodi li, or something like that, in ani li mili. Okay? Heard of these expressions? You've seen these things before? So sometimes they write these, but they don't really refer to, you know, shir ashir or pirkei avos. They're doing it because they like the sound of the expression. So if Ariel wants to argue, maybe in those cases it's better because the intention of the person that made it was not specifically to quote psukim. You hear the point? So at the end of the day, he still recommends not doing it. He says it's better not to do it, but he throws out the svara to suggest that maybe it's better because they didn't have that in mind. Again, we're not going to get into the details now, but that's a possibility. The problem is, if you bought your jewelry from Hadaya specifically, would you say this applies or doesn't apply? Yes, I think from Hadaya, I think it's more of a problem. Because they specifically show you that they're from the psukim. They have the whole list there. If you go on their website, they quote you where every expression is from in the psukim or in the chazal, whatever it is. That, I think, has clear intention to be coming from the psukim or from chazal, and therefore, I would say if you get it from there, it's more of a problem, even if you get some of these kinds of expressions. Now, really, you should know that they're not against what we're saying now, okay? I'm not trying to put them out of business here. They'll be very happy if I did. I might get in trouble. But I actually was in touch with one of their people, actually, by email. I sent a couple emails back and forth asking them about some questions about this. They told me that, and you know this, they'll say, well, from people that come here, ask to, you know, add an extra letter or quote the pasuk a little differently or whatever it is, and they're happy to help you, okay? They don't mind helping you. They'll be happy to change the words, and if you bring it back afterwards, I think I mentioned this before, they'll be more than happy, I think. If they may not understand why you're doing it, but the guy who actually does it, I think, does understand, even if the people that work there don't. I think they will be willing to add in a couple extra letters here and there if you want them to. So again, that's a good way out. If you have psukim and you want to, you know, be machmir, it's a good way out to try to get around this problem by having them add in a couple extra letters. Oh, so that's my next question. Okay, very good. So I talked about this in my article, but just to get a little bit, just to discuss it, just, you know, very, very briefly, what do you do if you already have it, okay? You bought it already, it's very expensive, somebody else bought it for you, whoever it might be, your mother, your sister, or your other, well, whatever. You guys don't have boyfriends right not around here, God forbid, right? Okay. Whoever bought it for you, and it won't be very, very fun if you get rid of it and you tell them, sorry, no more. Be like, sorry, nice knowing you. What do you do, okay, if you're stuck? So here is a question. Meaning, on one hand, as we mentioned, the Rambam says you got to get rid of it. On the other hand, the Shulchan Aruch himself and most of the poskim don't quote the part of the Rambam. They just say you can't embroider it. But it doesn't say what to do if you already have it. So maybe you could argue, maybe the reason they don't quote that is because they feel that the Eved, if you already have it, you could be more makil. On the other hand, the reason why it's a problem that you might bring it into the bathroom is very, very relevant. So, Halacha L'maaseh, the postum that I asked, including Rav Schechter, which I quoted in my article from YU, he felt that it was better to take it off and not wear it, even if you already have it. That's what he felt. On the other hand, I did find online, and this you can look at in source number 12, okay, In text number 12, I found here that he quotes some psukim. Again, I apologize. I didn't get the right quote here. But in that same article, if you look up the link, in the same article, basically he says that if you already have it, okay, then b'di'evet it's mutter to continue to wear it and to continue to have it. Just make sure not to bring it into the bathroom as is. Okay, now again, it's questionable, but there are some big poskim in Eretz Yisrael which didn't want to be named, but I can tell you afterwards who they are if you want to know, that did feel that there would be mutter b'di'evet once you already have it. So if you want to rely on that, then great. Those you want to be machmer to be yotei kol deos, which again I recommend because again, logically it makes sense that even if you already have it, the problem of bringing it to the bathroom is still a real concern. Laniastati, I think it's better if you can find a way to either switch it or add to the words or whatever it is to make it better. Okay, last question on this point of that, I just want to wrap up with going into the bathroom. Yeah.
No, so if your husband's up, like, can you make
a babysitter? Oh, good. Okay. So that's what I was going to get to right now. So just 1 minute about this. If you already have it and you continue to wear it, whatever it is, if you want to rely on this kula or you don't want to listen to me and you just want to, you know, whatever it is, so can you bring it into the bathroom? So the answer is, again, it's machlokas aposkim. If you look here in source number 10, so the Shabrua talks about other kinds of psukim, meaning things that don't have, that are not actually tefillin or sifrei Torah, and basically what he says is that if they're covered, if they're covered inside, you could bring them in. Some people say you need a double covering. Again, this is a whole machlokas here, which if you read my article, I discuss the different opinions in a little bit more detail. But essentially, it's a machlokas aposkim, is it good enough with one covering, with two coverings, different opinions. If you cover it with two coverings, then you've definitely been yotzei kol hadeos. If you cover it even with one covering, that's not bad. Okay, meaning if you want to cover it with one covering, tuck it in, or put it underneath something else, or whatever it is, that is good enough to at least, you know, be yotzei according to many of the shitas. So at the very least, if you want to do that, that would be great. Okay. However, again, maybe a discussion, which we don't have time to get into now, that if you could take it off and not bring it into the bathroom at all, that's even better. Okay. That's what we say for tefillin, that if you could take it off and leave it somewhere, that's even better than keeping it and covering it. But again, those are the options. Either take it off and put it down, or cover it and bring it into the bathroom. But again, the problem is that it's very complicated because people forget. So that's why you have to be very careful if you're going to do this. It's almost guaranteed that at some point you're going to forget. So you have to be extremely, extremely careful when it comes to that. Okay, any other questions about anything else, this, or any of the actual expressions that you have or whatever else before we finish up? Yeah?
So even if you have like extra letters or take out letters, you should still cover?
No. So if you take out letters and you have what we had before, you don't have three or four words from a pasuk together, then it's according to that, it doesn't have kedusha. It'll be mutter to bring it to the bathroom. Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So would, like, in the case where, you know, Shem Hashem is in the pasuk, and it's just a hey.
Good. That's an excellent question.
As an interruption.
If you guys want to stick around, I'm happy to talk about it. But it's already 6:45. So, the 3 second answer is that it's not clear. If the word Hashem as a hey counts as part of the pasuk, for hey it's probably better to be machmir because some poskim say that the word hey written with the intention of writing Shem Hashem might have kedusha in it. Okay, it's not so clear. Many poskim disagree, but in terms of at least creating a pasuk with three or four words, it may be better to be machmir. But again, it's a discussion. It's not so clear. We'll leave it at that. Dalet is even better. Dalet might be more to be makel, but again, that's a longer discussion. Okay, if you have any more questions, I'm happy to answer them, but it's on your cheshbon, not mine. So if you want to go, feel free to come up.
Before we move, two things. Don't move. Three things. First of all, thank you to the rabbi for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure.